Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Over the past few years, there's been a number of projects aimed at encouraging and developing visual artists within the state. The Tulsa Artists Fellowship is one project. The Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition has long run a fellowship for developing artists as well. But OVAC, as it's known, also has another program that is fairly rare, a fellowship for young professionals in the art world on a curatorial path or in art writing. The Art Writing and Curatorial Fellowship is a year-long program that provides 12 fellows with opportunities to encourage new writing and curatorial projects. The goal is to present a climate of support for those new artists we're generating within the state. Well, through the month of July and August, the Zero Center for Art and Education in the Tulsa Arts District will be presenting exhibits that are created by the fellows. This month, it features Stripes Around My Shoulder, an exhibit by current and former inmates from the Oklahoma Penal System, and To Belong, an exploration of North Tulsa by photographer Ayakim Gulalot. Both exhibits are curated by the fellows, and there will be two more exhibits, which will be featured in August. I'm joined by the lead mentor for OVAC's Art Writing and Curatorial Fellowship, Kirsten Olds, an assistant professor of art at the University of Tulsa, and one of the fellows themselves, Catherine Crane. She's been working at 108 Contemporary and is a fellow of the project. She co-curates Pink, an exploration, in August at the Zero Center. Kirsten and Catherine, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
OVAC, when we think of the Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition, we think of them being deeply involved in nurturing a next generation of Oklahoma artists, for mid-level artists, and helping them move to the next level. This program is a little different. It's about the support network that artists need to have to be able to show their work and for their work to reach a wider audience. Kirsten, tell us a little about this fellowship.
Sure. So it's the Oklahoma Art Writing and Curatorial Fellowship, and it was founded in 2010 with this goal of realizing that artists don't operate in a vacuum and that it's so important for a rich, vibrant statewide arts community to have developed artists who can write, arts professionals who might be writing about artists' work, curators who are including artists' work in shows, and that this was an area of the kind of statewide ecosystem that was really lacking and that OVAC could do something to kind of step in and fulfill that need.
Now, OVAC has done a lot of these mentorship programs for artists for a number of years, I guess. This is the next step after you develop a roster of artists that are creating work. Mm-hmm. It's ability of sharing those artists' stories either through, you know, articles. And I was really struck as you were talking about this fellowship in that there's been a couple of stories recently about the lack of people writing about art in the state that, you know, you look back 10 or 15 years, there were newspaper articles, there were critics that regularly covered arts in the newspaper. There was just this great amount of critical thinking about art within the state. That generation is sort of gone, and a lot of those outlets are gone.
Yeah, and so partly this kind of the start of this program developed coinciding with the demise, if you will, of paid art critic positions in national newspapers. And so this was a way to kind of grow and nurture local talent and keep those voices here in Oklahoma. And so our fellows have been producing essays and reviews for Art Review Oklahoma, which is an online publication produced by OVAC, and also for Art Focus Oklahoma, which is their quarterly print publication that goes statewide, but also to different institutions around the country. And so the next issue of Art Focus Oklahoma is actually a special issue devoted to writings by fellows in the program.
Yeah, and these 12 fellows, I assume most of them, it looks like nearly all of them are working in some facet of an arts organization. What does this fellowship provide for those professionals?
So it's a year-long program. We meet every 2 months, so six times throughout the year. And four of those sessions, we bring in visiting experts, so our mentors. And these are experienced professionals in curating, in arts organizing and leadership, and art critics. And so fellows submit writings that they're working on, and we give them prompts and submit those for the fellows to discuss, and then the mentors to give feedback on. And so Catherine is one of our fellows in this year's cohort. And so I don't know if you have thoughts on your experience.
Well, I was going to ask Catherine, what attracted you to this particular fellowship? You're a communications professional at 108 Contemporary. So I assume as part of your job, you're writing about the exhibits that are coming in and the artists are coming in.
Yeah.
What do you hope to gain from this fellowship?
So I think I'm in somewhat of a unique position in the within the cohort, just being so early on in my career. So I kind of was wanting to get a number of things out of it, which I think it certainly has given me, which is just exposure to everything. I know there are so many skills I needed to learn, and there are so many avenues and facets of the arts field that I haven't been exposed to yet. And this was an opportunity to really kind of hone a lot of skills that I've already been working on through art writing, but also be exposed to the curatorial field and working with artists one-on-one, and also just being exposed to other art workers, whether it be in my cohort or some of the mentors, where I could pick their brain about their path and what they're interested in, what they're working on, what are conversations that are being had in the arts, not only in our region with the other cohorts, but across the nation with some of the mentors, because we've had mentors in LA, based in New York, New Orleans. I'm going to forget a lot of these.
Well, a lot of them are museum professionals in area museums like Crystal Bridges, Oklahoma City, the Native American Museum, which will be opening soon.
Yeah.
So I guess it's getting access to those folks. And I guess from what you're saying, I guess you just graduated from college just a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I've seen a lot of times. A lot of times communication professionals at arts organizations are sort of thrown in the pool.
You can say that, yes.
And so it has to be a really, you have to be a quick learner, and that learning curve is pretty steep starting out.
Yes, it is certainly diving into the deep end wherever you're going, just because there is so much learning about what organization you're working with. You know, what is their identity? What are they working on? What are they hoping to gain and let people know about? Which varies from organization to organization. And so being in my position recently out of university and working with one organization, I was able to learn a lot about that one style, which was, I mean, incredible. But now being in a fellowship like this, I've been able to see how other larger organizations, different institution styles work and operate, what they're trying to get out of it, how they present themselves, how they like to write, and then also how independent critics, writers, you know, outside of the institution, more like publication-based.
Yeah, you've been very focused on contemporary craft. Now
right.
It's about learning about everything from the range of art history to contemporary art to all sorts of different, you know, installation art, performance art, and I assume that's a big field.
Yep. It's kind of what can I learn and how fast can I learn it has been my motto throughout this whole fellowship.
Now I was just going to say this fellowship provides these fellows with not only the opportunity to write about, I assume, a wide range of subject matter, but also to get into the curatorial field. I guess that's a hard threshold to cross within the art world, isn't it?
It is. And so part of the program is each session, when we come together at the start of the day, we actually will tour an exhibit with a local curator. So the past three iterations of the program had been in Oklahoma City and Norman. This year's is the first time in Tulsa. And so we had a whole array of Tulsa arts organizations to learn from their kind of curators and organizers. So we toured Gilcrease and Philbrook and AHA 108 Contemporary Black Wall Street Gallery. And so the fellows got to learn from those examples and hear a little bit of behind the scenes of putting together the current exhibitions on display when they were touring those organizations. And then the second component is that the fellows were able to work on proposals for exhibitions. And these exhibitions will be on view at the Zero Center in downtown Tulsa in the Arts District, opening July 5th, and then also on August 2nd, so the two first Fridays in July and August. And the fellows worked on curatorial proposals, submitted them. They were reviewed by a jury panel that then chose four of them, and also provided feedback to the fellows whose proposals weren't selected on some of the ways in which, if they wanted to kind of continue work on that idea, how they might improve it and submit it to maybe other organizations.
Now, Catherine, you're going to be participating in an exhibition titled Pink and Exploration, and that's next month in August. Was that your idea, or are you participating with somebody else's idea?
So this was my proposal, which is really exciting, and I'm terribly thrilled to be a part of it, and I'm so excited. So, yeah, that's been my little...
So what was the proposal process like? I mean, how many iterations did you go through before you figured on this idea, and was it something you were working with your mentors, or was this something you had to do on your own and then just present to your mentor?
So this was somewhat of a solo development, but it was a lot of moving parts and a lot of ideas that slowly were narrowed down based on a lot of feedback that I had already gotten in the past from other mentors and hearing from them through the different panel discussions that we had had of, you know, how can you narrow down and really solidify a perspective of an exhibition? And I kind of took a lot of that stuff in while I was developing the proposal and rewrote it a lot to make sure I was actually saying what I wanted to say, and really developed that. And then also another part of the proposal was developing a budget, developing programming ideas, and all of the other aspects that go into a fully fleshed exhibit. And then all of that was sent along to OVAC and the jurying panel, and here we are now.
So now that's exciting in one way now, but now that the proposal's been approved, I assume you're deep into finding art to, I guess, to put up on the walls.
Yes. So my proposal was one of the few that included a call for entry, which came with its own challenges, especially with a short time frame. But with the help of Dr. Olds and all of the other mentors, I was really able to make it work and develop some hard and fast deadlines.
And so your exhibit, Pink and Exploration, is really an exploration of the color pink. So you're doing calls for entries for artists to do work using that color?
Yes. So the concept behind this is, how do we experience color, both on the individual level and on the societal level? So everyone experiences color differently, and everyone has their own perceptions and ideas behind any certain color. So if you ask anyone, what do you think of blue? They could say, I think of my mother's eyes, or I think of the ocean. Well, same goes for pink, which I think in today's climate is a very politicized color.
Yes, it is. Think of, it's always had these connotations and gender identity, certainly associated with pink for generations.
Right.
But now pink has this new political message.
Yes, exactly. So allowing artists within the region to have their own perspectives and ideas about this color, whether they're celebrating it, subverting it, criticizing it, interrogating it, however they want to approach this idea, this show is giving them the freedom to do that. And what I hope audiences get from this is to be able to see, wow, something that I think is so concrete and universal that, of course, everyone knows what pink is. But as soon as you go in, you can see it, you say, oh, this isn't actually as concrete as I think it is. And it might allow people a very accessible opportunity to kind of question some of these broader ideas of, how do we experience color? How do we use color in the world around
us. So I don't want to give away the exhibition since it's still in process, but I assume you were perhaps thinking that a lot of people would go for that contemporary political message, and I assume probably some artists did, some artists didn't.
Yes. So it was really incredible looking at the call for entry, which I was kind of blown away by the submissions and the caliber of work that we were able to get in such a short time period and within the region. So definitely come and see it. But people were taking such varied perspectives on it, which I'm thrilled by. So some people were taking very politicized stances, but other people were looking at it on a very personal, domestic level, where looking at it as, you know, relationships with their family, reminding them of, you know, a grandmother or a mother. And other people also took it at a more conceptual level. So we have one artist, Kathleen Faubert, who's based out of Norman, and she is actually working in scent. So it isn't a visual experience, but people that experience the world differently, whether they're visually impaired or have some sort of color blindness, they don't see color the way that a majority of the world sees color. So how does that translate into the other senses? So what do you think of when you smell pink? Is it, you know, candy? Is it a flower? Or is it, you know, dried blood or something like that that has that pinkish hue?
Pepto-Bismol.
Pepto-Bismol, exactly. So, you know, what are you thinking of? So I'm really excited to smell her work in person to see how she approaches that idea. So it is a super interesting show, if I say so myself.
Catherine Crane is a communication professional at 108 Contemporary and a fellow of the Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition's Art Writing and Curatorial Fellowship. Kirsten Oles is a professor of art at the University of Tulsa and the lead mentor for the fellowship. The Henry Zero Center for Art and Education will be presenting exhibitions from the fellowship in both this month and again in August. Pink will show up in August, and there are two exhibits which are now open at the Zero Center. Kirsten, can you tell us a little bit about these two exhibits that have opened?
Sure. So the first of these is Stripes Around My Shoulders, and this was an exhibition proposal that really struck the jurying committee because of the way that it seized on a topic of real importance now, which is the prison system. And it kind of takes a look at the prison system, not in a didactic way, but by looking at work that has been created by current and former prisoners. So an example of something that's in the show are paños, the handkerchiefs that, you know, had started out by prisoners in Latin American jails and has kind of spread to, you know, prisons around the United States. These small handkerchiefs that prisoners can, hand color with colored pencils. They're intimate. They're tactile. They can be mailed to family members or other people, so they're transportable.
Are they often worn within the prison itself?
You know, that I don't know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The curators for the show will have some kind of more extensive labels to explain the works in the show, and so that may be something that's explored there.
Mm-hmm. And the other exhibit is titled To Belong.
Yeah, and To Belong kind of really focuses on thinking about the kind of relationship of the Arts District to North Tulsa, which is just a few streets away, and kind of focusing on that relationship of place with respect to the concept of home. And so the curators selected one artist, an Oklahoma City-based artist, Yakim Gulalot, who has kind of a long-standing relationship with Tulsa and the Tulsa arts community. In 2013, he had done a show at AHA called Sight Unseen, that some listeners may remember, where he spent a lot of time in North Tulsa photographing its spaces and its residents. And so kind of with this show, it was an opportunity to reflect again on those sites of North Tulsa by thinking about, you know, how do communities that have been displaced kind of create their spaces of belonging? And so the work in that and To Belong will have photographs that Yakim has taken, photographs that have been submitted by North Tulsa residents, and then a house structure that Yakim has had kind of specially built for this exhibition. And to kind of get people thinking about how they associate, you know, architectural structures with home. What does that mean? How might we come together to kind of think about our communities going forward?
Well, this is certainly a popular theme that you've seen just in the news in the last couple of weeks. There have been a lot of stories about, is the footprint of the Arts District pushing people who have considered this area to be their home space, especially along Greenwood and Archer and that neighborhood along Black Wall Street, is this pushing them out? Is there room for that? Is this going to be a truly integrated experience? And, the recent decision by a major employer to build a new tower within the district, this is a question that's resonating right now.
It really is. And Yakim has a lot of experience in thinking about creative placemaking. He has worked with Rick Lowe, who Project Row House in Houston, who also will be working in Tulsa as part of the kind of Centennial Commission's project. And so this is an area that he has a lot of kind of expertise and, you know, deep passion for. So it'll be exciting to see the exhibition.
There is one other exhibition which opens in conjunction with Catherine's exhibition, and that's called Remix Cultural Collaborations. What is this?
Yeah, so this exhibition kind of really is focused on thinking about process rather than kind of the products, the works that we see on the walls. How might we get some insight into artistic process, and in particular, that of kind of bringing together maybe two artists that have slightly different approaches, styles, or processes, putting them together for a show and seeing what emerges. And so the inspiration behind the show was hip hop and remix culture. And so, for example, one of the artist pairings in the exhibition is the artist Denise Duong, who's an Oklahoma City-based muralist. Her murals, you know, can be seen in plaza walls, and she was the featured artist in this year's Paseo Arts Festival. And then an emerging artist, Aiden Daniels, and so kind of bringing these two artists who both work in an illustrative style, but that's very different. So Aiden's is more graphic design oriented with harder, sharper, kind of cleaner lines. Mm-hmm. And Denise's is more whimsical, kind of storybook style, and seeing what might happen in bringing these two together, giving them the time and space to create something.
So when you say hip hop culture, I think of music. Is this strictly a visual project, or will it transcend boundaries of you know, music and art?
Well, it's still in process. So we're not exactly sure what the artistic kind of collaborations will produce.
Yeah. Catherine, let me turn back to you. You mentioned that you wanted into this fellowship to sort of get a broader sense of the range of art experiences that a young professional can have. What do you hope that you're going to get out of this? Is this a path towards curatorial work, or is it furthering you in your writing career, or toward criticism, or what exactly?
I think you might have been prompted by my parents asking what my 5-year plan is, but I just think that this is an opportunity to really see and understand what is out there. What are these possibilities? What are people's paths that they've taken to get where they are? I've really loved this aspect of curating and working with artists and being able to talk with them about projects that they're working on and how can that work within a gallery space, and being able to do that has been really lovely. But I've also really loved all of the writing that we've gotten to do. I think my writing has just grown so much, and I feel that I've been able to understand what kind of critical conversations are happening in the world and how I need to be able to engage with those to be a proper member of the arts community. And so I think I've just grown so much. I'm actually returning to graduate school this fall. So this is my foray into going back to that critical thinking and academia.
Has this made you think more of a curatorial path within graduate school?
I think that's definitely a possibility. I've just enjoyed it so much. I'd love to explore it more and be able to see what is out there.
And that's the goal.
Yeah, and Kirsten, I would say, just at first glance at looking at who the fellows are, which come from all over the state, I would say a lot of them are young professionals, oftentimes working in museums as writing professionals, communications specialists. I guess I would think that they were looking for that path into the curatorial field. Is that the case, or is it a mixed bag?
It's really a mixed bag. Some of them are really more focused on writing. One of our current fellows actually then was accepted into the Tulsa Artist Fellowship Program, Liz Blood, kind of during the duration of the fellowship. And others kind of really want to continue in art writing or kind of just writing for general audiences, but seeing how this process could help make them better writers, think about their audiences in different ways. Some are interested in maybe thinking about whether they're interested in curatorial work or not, getting a taste for it, getting some mentoring, and then being able to assess whether that actually is something that they want to do. And then others are and have been kind of arts advocates, arts professionals. So Amber Sharples, for example, is a past fellow in this program. She's at the Oklahoma Arts Council. And so really, it's kind of an array of motivations that bring people into the program. And we try and work with them individually to determine kind of what they want to get out of the program and how we best can help them.
You can see the results of the Art Writing and Curatorial Fellowship in this month and again next month at the Henry Zero Center for Art and Education in the Tulsa Arts District. The exhibits To Belong and Stripes Around My Shoulder run through July 24th. And then the second exhibitions, Pink and Exploration and Remix Cultural Collaborations, opens on August 2nd. Catherine and Kirsten, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Kirsten Olds is an assistant professor of art at the University of Tulsa and lead mentor for the Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition's Art Writing and Curatorial Fellowship. Catherine Crane is a fellow of the project. She'll be co-curating an exhibit next month. Two exhibits are currently running at the Zero Center for Arts and Education, and will also continue with two other exhibits in August. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.